We're glad each of you is here, back tonight. We're going to be looking at a few verses from the book of Exodus tonight. Moses, of course, was born into his family among the children of Israel, but it wasn't long, as we remember the story, before he was taken and raised by Pharaoh's daughter as her son. So he was brought up in the Egyptian household and was brought up there knowing and understanding the ways of the Egyptians. And yet we know that he understood he himself was not of that people. And he identified himself with the children of Israel. And when that day came and his fellow Israelite was being beaten by the Egyptian taskmaster, he looked this way and that, the Bible says, and he rose up and he killed that Egyptian. His two of his brethren the next day were disputing among themselves. And he spoke to the one who was doing the wrong, who was, you know, as they were fighting. And he chastised him. He said, why are you hurting your brother? And this man then replies to him. He says, you know, who made you a judge or ruler over us, prince over us? And he says, will you kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Moses was afraid because he knew the word had spread, so he flees for his life. And of course, in fact, Pharaoh does hear of the incident and wants to kill Moses, but he's already made his way toward a far-off land. We're told the land of Midian is where he goes. Well, he gets there and he becomes part of the household of Jethro. He had helped his daughters there at the well, invited to stay. He stays. Jethro gives his daughter, Zipporah, to Moses as a wife. And he has his first son. And he names his first son Gershom. And Gershom is named such because of the meaning of that name, which has to do with being a stranger or a foreigner, because Moses said, I'm a stranger, I'm in a foreign land. Moses, in fact, had been a stranger all along. He was born in a strange land. He had lived among a strange people. He was not a Midianite. He was not an Egyptian. He was an Israelite. He was of the Hebrew people. He was a descendant of Abraham. And he was one who was blessed by God to one day inherit a land that is described as flowing with milk and honey, a land of great prosperity. There's a similar way in which we, like Moses, have to consider ourselves properly and rightly strangers, foreigners. We are a people of a different nation. We are not of this world. We often feel different if we're living as faithful Christians because we don't fit in a lot of the places we go. You might be at school and realize, you know, what I hear, what I see, what people do, I don't fit in. That's a good sign when you feel like you don't fit in, because we are not of the world. We're of Christ. We're of a different nature. We're a different mindset. We're of different practices, different ways, because we are the people of God. We are to make sure that as we go forth in this life, that we maintain that separation, that distinction. We cannot become like the world. We need to make sure that we remain as a people who stand out and are a peculiar people, as Peter said it. But not only this, as we read on here in Exodus, and after chapter 2, and we read God noticing at the end of chapter 2, His people suffering in bondage, crying out to Him, God remembers His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. God looks upon the children of Israel. It says in the last verse there that God acknowledged them. So God has a plan now. He's going to do something about this. So in the opening verses of chapter 3, this is where Moses is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He's here at Horeb, it says, the mountain of God. And then we're told something happens. Moses sees a bush that is burning but it's not being consumed. So it's a bush on fire, but the leaves are not burning up and shriveling. It's not happening in the way that he would expect it to. So he turns aside, verse 3, and he says, I'll see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And this is when God speaks to him. The Lord saw he had turned aside. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here's another thing we need to remember. We need to remember, as we just noticed, that we're strangers, we're foreigners. But we also need to remember who it is who has spoken to us. We need to remember that it is the Creator of this world, that it is the one who has redeemed us to himself by the blood of his Son, who has spoken to us. This is the God that called us out of the world. Now we're in Christ. Now we're Christians. We are a people that are separated, yes, but now we remember the one who has called us is the one who has given us a book by which we must live, who has spoken to us and continues to speak to us. He's made us aware, as he did with Moses, where it is that we stand. See, we stand in a holy place. We stand upon holy ground. We stand upon Christ, upon his word. Christ is the solid foundation upon which our hope is built. The church is built upon Christ, the solid foundation, and the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed. We need to remember not only what we are, and who has spoken to us, but we need to remember what we've been called to do. Moses here is told by God, who sees the distress of his people and their suffering, who's remembered his words to Abraham, and he says in verse 10 to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God has called you, and he's called me as well, to live as his holy people, but to remember our work that he has separated us to do. To look, as God has seen around us in this world, a people who are lost in sin, a people who are in the bondage of sin, and call them to the freedom that can be found in Christ. People have to make their way from slavery to freedom by passing through the waters. They had to walk across on dry ground, yes, but they were surrounded by the walls of water beside them and the pillar of cloud that was above them. They were immersed, in a sense, in Christ. And we must, as they, make sure that this message of hope and the redemption that we have in Christ, the freedom that we look forward to, is something that we not only cherish ourselves, but we understand it's a part of the mission we've been called to convey to the world in which we live, the salvation that is only through Christ. We have a great work that we've been called to do, saving the lost, also building up the church, our brethren, ministering to the needs of the people around us in this world in all the different ways in which we can, whether it be seeing physical needs and showing love in that way. Most importantly, of course, the words that relate to the hope that we have through Christ. There's a lot of people confused. They understand, many in our society today, that there is a God, there is a Christ. He's the Son of God. But they're in a place of confusion because they believe in that which is of man as opposed to that which is of God. There's always been that kind of confusion in the world today. It existed back in the beginning. It existed during the days of Christ when he was dealing with the turmoil that existed in the first century with the religious leaders and their departures from God's will. And it's going to be common among God's people. So our work is very great and our work is vital because it relates to salvation of souls. We are strangers in this world. We have been spoken to by a God who loves us and has brought us to a place of hope, but we have a work before us that is immense because there are people dying every day unprepared. There are people that we meet and then we may never see them again. People that we come into contact with on a regular basis, and all of these are souls. It's a matter of remembering the perspective we need to have as people who have a work that is very special, so that it will cause us to make a difference in the way that we conduct ourselves and think more along the lines of what can I do today to make an eternal difference in the life of someone around me. And allow that kind of thinking then to change our day-to-day walk, our priorities, and how we use each day that we're blessed with by God. Because, again, we are called people to a high purpose. Tonight, as you reflect upon your own life, what is it that you have done to take care of the problem of sin that is in your life? See, everyone is in bondage and desires to go to freedom if they understand the consequences of sin. The bondage of sin leads to death, which is eternal. Nobody wants to have that. So the remedy is Christ. And the remedy is only found when we listen to what God says through His Word and comply with the means that He has set forth by which we can take that journey toward and receive the freedom, the redemption, the hope. We're all, as those who are already bought with the blood of Christ, on our way toward the promised land, but some haven't begun the journey. It begins with that belief that Jesus is God's Son, yes, but turning away from sin is vital. Repentance, confessing our faith in Jesus, being immersed or baptized so that our sins can be washed away, having the belief in the truth. You can't believe wrong, be baptized right, and be added by God to the church. You have to believe the truth that God has conveyed in His Word about the one church that His Son established, be baptized according to that teaching, and then be added to that kingdom, that everlasting kingdom that Christ has established and which we are now a part of as believers. It may be that you've erred from the faith. Maybe you've weakened. Maybe you have wandered, or there's sin in your life that you need prayers for, that you might need help with. And you know you have a family here who cares about you, who is willing to assist you in your struggles. If these things are of a private nature, you can go to God in prayer, and you can pray in regard to these things, and you can be certain that God will forgive you and will cleanse you. But if you need to make those things right tonight, or if you need the help of your Christian family, you know we're here to help you, and we'd be happy to assist you as we stand and as we sing.